Before I start, I feel it's incumbent upon me to explain my clothing. I had somebody come up to me to say, what are you doing there? Back to the 60s? And just to let you know, I'm wearing an Indonesian batik, and actually I'm formally dressed. If I were wearing North American garb, it would be a bow tie, tuxedo with tails. So why am I wearing this very formal clothing today? Well, first of all, it's very comfortable. And yeah, it does look pretty funky. But we're wanting to honor the persecuted church. How many remember having one of these on your kitchen table? Where'd it go? It's gone. There. How many remember having one of those on your kitchen table? Let's see your hands. Okay. What is that? Bread of Life. What would you do with it? Pull out a card and read the scripture. Is that right? It's our daily bread. A promise box. It was a way to remember God's word. So if you remember this, you probably remember the chorus. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You remember that one? Okay, promises. There would be verses like, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. What a great promise, amen? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Again, a great promise. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a great promise for these days. Amen. Oh, here's a really good one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. How many times have you quoted that one? Right? Or how about this one? Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. How many want to claim that promise? Maybe we should sing, nearly every promise in the book is mine. I don't think we can do that. This is a promise found in the Bible. If we want to live godly in Christ, persecution is part and parcel of the deal. We are continuing our look at the persecuted church, and as we are so close to Remembrance Day, I think it's important that we remember those who are suffering for their love of Jesus. And the scripture that I'm pulling out of the promise box is this one. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Remember the prisoners as if you were chained with them. As we saw in the video, North Korea is the number one country for persecuting Christians. We are to remember them as if we were chained with them. Remember them just as if we were in those prison camps beside them, since we are in the body together. Now, the word remember here in Hebrews 13 is not a passive word. It's more than something or something that passes our mind. The word remember here is an action word. It's not, Lowell, remember that time we pulled the moose out of the swamp? It's not like that. It's more like, remember I have to get some milk. Remember to pick the kids up from school. If you forget that one, sometimes you're in trouble. Remember to get the oil changed in the car. Remember to pray for those who are suffering for Jesus. It's a reminder to do something. It means to actively participate, to be engaged. It means that there's something you should be doing now. It means to be mindful of. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 to 26 says that God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. If one part suffers, we all suffer. And we've seen this morning that there are people around the world suffering for Jesus. We're suffering too, because we're part of the body. We need to be reminded of this suffering so that we will pray for these people. But it's more than just praying. We share with their pain. It means that we want to do something about their suffering. Remembering is more than just moving us to prayer. It's moving us into action. What kind of action other than prayer can we have when we remember those who are suffering? We can rejoice when we remember the persecuted Christians, because their chains spread the gospel in places that are otherwise restricted. Why should we rejoice when people are persecuted for Jesus? Because we're found worthy. We're found pure. We're found to be part of the body. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. When Paul was writing this, he was actually chained to a prison guard. And he says, I want you to understand that this is a good thing. It has served to advance the gospel. And so we can rejoice that God finds people worthy of suffering for Him. We can rejoice that the gospel is being advanced. One pastor in a nameless country that ends with Stan said, who in their right mind would want to go to the police station? Originally, I went to jail for being bad, for doing drugs. Now, since I met Jesus, when I go to church on Sunday to preach, I prepare two sermons. One for the people and one for the police. When they come and arrest me and take me off to jail and ask me, what are you teaching the people? He has a sermon ready. And he shares with the police. And he says, now I go to jail willingly to share Jesus Christ. And actually, it's working out rather well. We're getting to know many police and military and government officials. And I'm able to tell them things about Jesus Christ and Christianity that they never knew before. Pastor, how would you like to prepare two sermons every Sunday? That knowing that after you preach, you go to prison. Lowell's probably going, yeah, I got a break. We rejoice because God uses persecution to advance the gospel in restricted areas. Now, in this scripture, who is he writing to here? Okay, read. The hint is the very bottom. Who is Paul writing to here? The church in Philippi. How many remember the story of how Paul and Silas came to Philippi? And can you imagine the scene in Philippi when they read this? I want you to know that what happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. They remember when Paul and Silas were visiting the city, when they were jailed and beaten for preaching the gospel. And while in jail, they were praying and singing hymns. And around midnight, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The prison doors flew open and everybody's chains became loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Yes, the church in Philippi remember what had happened. I mean, all they had to do was look over in that part of the church and they would see the jailer and his family that came to Christ when Paul was imprisoned there. No doubt that as Paul was writing about how persecution can advance the gospel in places otherwise restricted, he had that jailer and his family in mind. And as the church read these words, you know, "What happened to me has really served to advance the gospel," they probably shared a tear with that jailer and his family as they thought about God's grace. We can rejoice when we remember their chains, because those in chains advance the gospel in places that are restricted to us. We can also be strengthened when we remember the persecuted Christians, because their chains make us bolder to share Jesus. In the very next verse, you know, we just read Philippians 1:12-13. In the very next verse, Paul writes, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." It is because Paul's example of preaching the word of God, preaching Jesus while in chains, was an example for others to do it. So we can be strengthened when we remember the persecuted Christians. Their chains make us bolder to speak. I read a story about a brother in Russia who said, "The persecuted church has more fire and energy to evangelize. Now it is open in Russia to share the gospel. But I led more people to become followers of Jesus during my 18 years in the underground church than I have in all of the following years during the freedom." Seeing what others will endure out of love for Christ should stir us to share Christ's love as well. We can rejoice when we remember the chains of persecution, because those chains take the gospel into places restricted. We can be energized and strengthened when we remember their chains, because their chains make us bolder to share Christ. And remembering our fellow Christians when they go through persecution should also encourage us to pray as they go through suffering and pain. Dana Curry and Heather Mercer were two members of the Shelter Now ministry who were captured in Kabul in August 2001. It was felt that they would be released in just a couple of weeks, but a couple of weeks later happened to coincide with September 11th, 2001. It was only after 105 days of being in a Taliban prison in Afghanistan that they were released. They said, "We strongly believe God had us in prison in Afghanistan to help remind Christians around the world to pray for Afghanistan. Please, do not stop praying for Afghanistan because we've been freed. God wants to bring hope and love through Jesus Christ to the people of Afghanistan. Keep praying." Excuse me. When we lived in Indonesia, there was a lot of persecution of the church going on. Nearly every week, we would hear about another church being burnt down. One church that we visited told us that, "We're not worried about being burnt." I said, "Well, how come you're not worried about being burnt down?" "On one side, we have a graveyard. Muslims won't go through a graveyard. The other side, we got a gas station." So they weren't worried about being burned down. Pastor Carlos, a friend of mine, told me a story. One of his best friends pastored a church in a neighboring community. Now, as with nearly every church in Indonesia, the pastor and his family would live in a wing of the church, sort of a parsonage connected to the church. One night, the Muslims came to burn the church. But this time they barricaded the door so that the people could not get out. Inside were the pastor, his wife, his 20-year-old daughter, his married son and his wife who was pregnant, and the youth pastor. When the neighborhood saw what was happening, they rushed to help, but they were not allowed near the church. Afterwards, they found the pastor and his family kneeling up against the first row of pews. Pastor Carlos was very upset and wanted to hate the people responsible, but God kept telling him, "Pray for these people." About a month later, there was a knock on the door and a man came in to see Pastor Carlos. The man said, "I was involved with the burning of that church because I hated Christians. But when I saw how that family died and saw the love pouring out from the church family, I wanted to become a Christian. I've given my heart to Jesus and I want you to baptize me." Now, as we heard this morning from Olga, being baptized in Indonesia is very important, very special. Yes, you change your identity card, and on it it says that you're a baptized Christian. So when you go to join a university and they ask to see your identity card and they see that, they'll say, "Sorry, there's no room." If you want to go join the military, "Sorry, we can't use you." You want to join the government? Nope. So it was a very important step that this man wanted to do. Being persecuted for believing in Jesus is happening all around the world, all the time. We need to continue to pray for the persecuted church. Christians are the most persecuted religious group worldwide. An average of at least 180 Christians around the world are killed each month for their faith. That's 5 a day. Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from their governments or surrounding neighbors simply because of their belief in Christ. One of the worst countries in the world for the persecution of Christians is North Korea. Christians in North Korea face the risk of detention in prison camps, severe torture, and in some cases execution for practicing their religious beliefs. North Koreans suspected of having contact with South Korean or other foreign missionaries in China, those caught in possession of a Bible, have been known to be executed. We need to thank God for the freedom that we have in our country right now to worship without fear. We need to use this freedom that has been given to us, which has been bought with a price, which is why we wear the poppies, why we remember the price. Both my father and grandfather were wounded in Second World War, paying the price for our freedom. We need to use this freedom to pray for and to serve with those who are suffering for Jesus. When the world hates you, remember that they hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as it loves its own people. But I have chosen you to be different from those in the world. So you don't belong to the world. And that is why the world hates you. As Pastor Lowell has been speaking about, there is going to be a time when we will face persecution. Let's use the freedom we have now wisely. I'm going to ask the music team to come up as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom we have. We thank you, Lord God, that we can be strengthened and encouraged by the fact that people are suffering for you. We thank you, God, that the blood of the martyrs is still being spilt and that it is causing your church to grow. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would find us worthy to stand and speak boldly about you no matter where we are, no matter what the cost. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to remember, actively remember what people are going through and do it in a way that spreads your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. One last promise. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.